privilege of working nearby and being here at the church and seeing the Lord work in this place. And we do appreciate the help that you gave us while we were here working amongst the Hispanic community. And also thank you for the support you've given to us these past 5 years that we've been in the Charlotte metro area. It's a pleasure to see all of you. Some of you I don't know, some of you I do remember. And now if I don't remember your name, please excuse me, but I do remember most of your faces that were here 5-6 years ago. So we do thank the Lord for that. I want to thank the Lord for Pastor Lashley as well, and the work that the Lord used him to do here. And it was during his time that we came to this place, and he was very gracious to myself and my family. And also want to thank Pastor Jenkins for the help that they've been, or he's been, and the church as well throughout this time. My wife told me that she was coming with me, but she may not be going back with me. She may stay, so you treat her nicely. But but we do miss it here. We miss the scenery. Coming down the Highway 26 down this way, that's one of the most beautiful sceneries in this part of the country. And we used to make that drive all of the time, and I missed it coming down today. I was just remembering all of the times that all those years that we worked here. And it's a pleasure to see Miss Julia Garce here, as she helped us those 4 years that we worked in the Spanish ministry in this area. And she took care of the kids, which was a blessing to us. We didn't have to deal with them in the auditorium. And if you think kids are rambunctious, just get a bunch of 10, 15 Hispanic kids that, you know, especially after they've had a bunch of jalapenos and all that stuff. I mean, they get riled up. And so, but thank you so much for the invitation, Pastor Jenkins, and also for the support you've given to us. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles with me, please, and go to the book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. And we're going to read a very familiar passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse number 22. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 22. Now, if for some strange reason I start preaching in Spanish, somebody just raise your hand and say, "We don't understand you." Okay? When I was in college, preaching in English was, you know, it was just normal, but been in the ministry almost 14 years now, and preaching 3-4 times in Spanish, you just kind of get used to it. And so preaching in English now, it becomes something of a chore. So don't worry about it. It's just the gift of tongues. Eventually, I'll come back to it, and we'll be okay, all right? Luke chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse 22. You know the story. And the Bible says here, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence.' Then he said, 'I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' Abraham said unto him, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' And he said, 'Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent.' And he said unto him, 'If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.'" Let us pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful time you've given us already. Thank you for the for the children and the presentation. Thank you for the work you're doing in India. What a blessing to see your hand working in a mighty way there. Thank you, Lord, for this church and for the many, many years that it has stood for the truth, and all of the pastors that have pastored this congregation and this church, Lord, and all of the great servants that have come through here. And thank you for the church family that's here at this time. I pray, Father, that you would stir our hearts, that you would remind us tonight of the great need that there is around the world for the preaching of your gospel. I pray that you would use me. May I be a useful tool in your hands, and may your Holy Spirit be the preacher tonight. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is a question, and the question is this: why bother with missions? Why bother with missions? It has been said that when it comes to missions, every Christian can do three things. We can pray for missions. Every Christian can pray for missionaries and pray for the work of God around the world, as we've just seen in India, how the Lord is working. And I'm sure that above all of the things that they need, the greatest need that they have is prayer, people praying for the ministry. So Christians can pray for ministry. Christians, or every Christian, can give to missions. And then there's also those select few that the Lord calls into the ministry. And there are those Christians that can go into missions work. And it really does not matter how long you've been in your walk with the Lord. Every Christian can and should be a part, or have a part, in getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to the regions beyond. But as we consider the work, and as we consider the churches, even here in our country, in the United States of America, we know that not all Christians have the desire or the willingness to get involved in missions. It seems like every year that goes by, fewer and fewer Christians pray for missions. Even fewer are willing to give of their so-called hard-earned money, forgetting the fact that every good gift cometh from the Father above. And so fewer are willing to give, and even fewer still are willing to go. If you fall into one of these categories or groups, or even if you are involved in missions tonight, and you're wondering if you should do more, tonight I want to give you certain truths. In fact, I want to remind you of certain truths that should encourage you to get involved if you're not, that should encourage you to do more if you are involved in missions. Now, for the sake of time, I will just mention the first three, and we'll focus on the last point for the remainder of the message. Why bother with missions? Why have a missions conference? Why set a goal of $320,000? Why go through all of the trouble to put all of this together and bring people in to preach and to teach about this? Well, the Bible is very clear. Why bother with missions? Number one, because there is a commandment to fulfill. There is a commandment to fulfill. The Lord Jesus Christ commanded, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It is amazing how callous and how apathetic we have become to this command. The gospel has slowed down, not because it has lost its power, or because the message has lost its ability to save lost souls, but because we as Christians have lost our focus. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not growing at the rate that it should, not because the message has stopped having the ability to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ, but because we, the messengers, have lost the focus that we should have. We are to be ambassadors for Christ in this world, but instead, it seems like we've become tourists in it. Christians today are great about saving up money to go down to Florida and to go to Hawaii and to go to Alaska and the Caribbean and all these beautiful places.
But yet those same Christians, or most of those Christians, are not even willing to cross the street to knock on their neighbor's door and preach to them about and talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not willing to invest time and go door to door in their own town, in their own city. But yet we'll go across the globe to go see the Eiffel Tower, or we'll go across the other sea to go see the Great Wall of China. We have lost our focus. And instead of being ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, we've become tourists in this world. We have lost our focus. And yet, when we look at the Word of God, we understand that in each of the Gospels and in the book of Acts, the Bible repeats this command of the Lord. And He says, look, I want you to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Why did the Lord save us? Why did He leave us here? So that we could be witnesses of His grace and of His goodness to us as a human race. Why bother with missions? Because there is a command or a commandment to fulfill. Secondly, because there is an example to follow. Our Lord said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. The Lord also asks Mary and Joseph, he asked them, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He also said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. Our Lord's life was consumed with the preaching of the gospel. He went from city to city, from town to town, preaching the gospel of salvation, the gospel of salvation to the nation of Israel, and then from there to the Gentiles and the Samaritans that were around. He left us an example to follow. He left us an example, and he showed to us that His main goal was the salvation of the lost. You know, today we have many goals, and Hispanic people are just like any other groups of immigrants that come to this country. They all come, you know, wanting to have that great American dream of owning a house, a car, and a dog. I don't know who came up with that dream, but anyway, I got a dog, and we're about to get rid of her. But anyway, but they come with that mentality of you know, I got to have a house and I have to have a car and I have to have this and that and the other. But as Christians, we need to understand that we are only pilgrims in this world. And many times, even those who have been in the ministry or in the things of the Lord for 15 and 20 and 25 years, we tend to forget this. We tend to give an excuse, well, you know, I've already served the Lord, or I have been in the work of the Lord and in the things of the Lord for 25 and 30 years, and I've done enough. No, we haven't done enough. Let me say this, it doesn't matter if you're here and you're 50 and 60 and 70 and 80 years old, you can still serve the Lord. If our brother here can continue preaching the Word of God after 40 years in the ministry, surely we can all serve the Lord. And so we have an example. Are we following His example today? Why bother with missions? Because it was the heartbeat of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He came to this world. He did not come to this world just to teach, preach a few messages, give food to a few thousands of people. No, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when He went up to heaven, that commandment was given to the local church. And it has been passed down to us from generation to generation. And the question is, are we following His example today? Why bother with missions? Because there is a commandment to fulfill. Because there is an example to follow. Thirdly, because there is a judgment seat of Christ to face. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 12, so then every one of us should give an account of himself to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. One of these days we're going to stand before our Lord. And thank God that the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment on our sins. Praise the Lord for that. We thank God that our sins were judged on the cross of Calvary. Praise God that our sins have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and we will not have to give an account for our sins, but we will have to give an account for our service. We will give an account for what we have done for the work of the Lord here in this world. And on that day, our works will be judged by fire, the Bible says. And when you go to the book of the Revelations, when John gives us that description of our glorified Lord, the Bible says that his eyes are as a flame of fire. And he will look upon our works, and if they be of gold, silver, and of precious stones, they will remain. But if they are of wood, hay, and stubble, the Bible says that they will be burned up. And many a Christian sitting in our local churches today, they will stand before the Lord, and their works will be burned up. Why? Because the Lord will look upon them, and he will consider them wood, hay, and stubble. We understand that this judgment is not a judgment for our sin, but it is a judgment of our service to our Lord. And on that day, we will give an account for how we built upon the foundation that was laid in our lives the day that we came to salvation in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No other foundation can any man lay than that which has already been laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul says that we need to be careful how we build upon that foundation. Our service for the Lord, we will give an account. I believe most of us here know this song, and or this hymn. It says, "Must I go and empty-handed? Must or does my Redeemer meet? Not one day of service giving or give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go?" The last stanza says, "O ye saints, arouse and be earnest. Up and work while 'tis day. Ere the night of death overtake thee, strive for souls while still you may." We come to this time of missions conference, and many times I think that we get so used to having missions conferences. And we get used to seeing our missionaries come from India and from Thailand and from Africa and other parts of the world. And we get so used to this. And like, well, we're having another missions conference. And well, yeah, there's another promise to be made. But the question is, how are we involved? Because usually we see it as a church thing. But it's also an individual thing. The most important thing that as we go through this missions conference is to remember that we have these missions conferences because there is a command to fulfill, there is an example to follow, and one day we will give an account to our Lord for our service, how we serve him here upon this world. But the most sobering reason why every Christian should be involved in missions, we find it in this chapter, in these verses that we've read, and I want to spend the rest of our time looking at these verses. Why bother with missions? Well, we have a commandment, yes. We have an example, and there is a judgment seat. And I think that those three should be reason enough for us to, as the hymn says, arise, stir up, and do something for our Lord. But let me mention one last point to you tonight, and it is this: that we should worry and we bother with missions and we care about missions and we focus on missions because there is a hell to avoid. There is a hell to avoid. There is a hell God wants every human on the face of this earth to avoid. From the passage that we have before us tonight, I want to remind you of four truths that we see in these verses. First of all, we see the reality of hell. The Bible says there, "And it came to pass in verse 22 that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell. He lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Oh, how surprised must that rich man have been when after dying, he found out he was still living. Oh, how surprised must that man have been when he understood, you know what, that he had just died. And then all of a sudden he is able to open his eyes. He is able to feel. He is able to speak. He is able to remember things. Oh, how surprised he must have felt that moment when he opened his eyes and when he looked around. He no longer had his mansion. He no longer had his camel. He no longer had his horses. He no longer had his money. He no longer had all of his food. But he was surrounded by torment. And the Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes. There are so many wrong teachings about what is called usually the afterlife in this world. You know, there's most Hispanics, being Catholics, they believe in purgatory. And they believe that there is this place between heaven and hell, or heaven and earth, where you'll go and you're going to be purged from the sins that you were not forgiven of here on earth. In other places, they believe in reincarnation, as where our brother's from. Hey, if you behaved well in this lifetime, well, in the other, well, you'll come out, you'll come back as a person in a higher standing, the way I understand it. But if you don't behave well, I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. You may come back as someone lower in the caste system, or you may come back as something else. But there are so many things. The Muslims believe that you'll go and you'll spend the afterlife in another world with 70 virgins. The Mormons believe sort of the same thing, and so on and so forth. But as we get to the Bible, as we come to the Bible, you and I, we hear these things, and we know they're wrong. And we know that we are right because we understand and believe what God has said in His Word, that there is one heaven and there is one hell, and each one of us will go to one of those two places. We understand that. And yet, the sad part is that knowledge that we have, to be true, and it's a true knowledge, doesn't move us. It doesn't stir us. It doesn't push us to pray more. It doesn't push us to give more. It doesn't even push us to go, not even across the street or even in our own town, to knock on someone's door and to warn them that there is a true, literal place called hell. The Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Why do we bother with missions, with missionaries? Why do we go through all of the work for missions, conferences, and faith promise offering? Because there is a hell where there is fire that is never quenched, and the Bible says, and their worm dieth not. Why should you be involved in missions? Why, if you are involved in missions, should you give more? Why should you do more? Because there is a place tonight. There is a place tonight where this rich man is still burning in that fire. There is a place tonight where millions are being tormented day and night. And there is a place tonight that is waiting for your neighbor, that is waiting for your lost family member, that is waiting for your lost coworker, for death to come and have hell swallow them up. That's why we have missions. There is a command. There is an example. There's also this literal place called hell. Why should every Christian get involved or do more for missions? Because there is a hell God wants every person to avoid. In this passage, we also see, secondly, the torment of hell. The Bible mentions several times in these few verses the word torment or torments. Verse 23, he says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Verse number 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good thing, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Verse 28, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Why? Why do we have missions? Because there is a place called hell. Because it is a literal place. It is a real place. It is a place that awaits the lost sinner. As soon as this man's party on earth ended, his suffering in hell began. You do see that, right? The Bible says he fared sumptuously every day. And so every day the man had a party. Every day the man had a feast. And on the day that he died, he was also feasting. He was also having a great party. He was enjoying the material things of this world. But the moment that his party ended here, his suffering started there. Just think about what the Bible says about this place. The people in hell are tormented day and night, the Bible tells us. Revelation 14 and verse number 11, the Bible says, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Those people are not resting. I usually tell the people in our church, and, you know, Hispanic men, they like to drink. I guess in most cultures, you'll have a group of people that like to drink, but Hispanic men, unsaved, they love to drink. They love to drink. And some of them think that when they die, and some of them will tell you, I don't care, I'll go to hell. It's okay with me. But they think that when they go to hell that they're going to have a great party. You know, their 2, 3, 4 drinking buddies are down there waiting for them, and they're thinking they're going to go down there and drink with their buddies. They're thinking that they're going to have a great good old time, but they're not. They're sorely mistaken. The Bible says that the fire of their torment, the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night. Hell is a place of endless life, of unfulfilled desires. The man asked for a drop of water. He says, I just want you to let him go and dip the tip of his finger in water that he may just give me one drop to cool my tongue. And I assure you that from that day that he asked for that drink of water or for that drop of water until this day, he has not received one single drop of water. It is a place of endless life, an unfulfilled desires. It is also a place of untold torment. Why do we bother with missions? Why do we have missions conferences? Because untold millions, as the song goes, are still untold. There are millions and billions of people that have not heard the name of Christ mentioned. There are people around this world who have never heard or heard a gospel message or held the Bible in their hands. There are people here, even in this corner of beautiful Tennessee, that have not heard a clear message of the gospel of Jesus Christ presented to them. And whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? It's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's our fault. Because we've lost our focus. We understand that there is a hell that awaits the sinner, but that doesn't push us. That doesn't move us to get up on Saturdays or to go out on Thursday nights and go knock on someone's door and preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not the gospel's message a fault. And it's not that it's lost its power, but the messengers, we have lost our desires. Hell is a place of torment. The Bible says that it is a place where the fire is never quenched and their worm dieth not. It is a place where the fire is never quenched and their worm dieth not. And just in case we missed it the first two times, he repeats it again and he says that it is a place where the fire is never quenched. It never goes out. It's always burning. It never goes out. It doesn't matter how much water you want to pour on it. It will always burn forever and ever. And their worm, the torment, he says, it never ceases. And so we see here in this passage the reality of hell. Why would Pastor Jenkins establish that goal of 320,000? Because it's worth the soul of men around the world. That's why. And if the Lord Jesus Christ gave his own life to come and to die on a cross and to shed his blood for our sins, if he thought the souls of men were worth that much, then surely this church can give that amount because it is worth the souls of men. It's funny to me how, you know, we We complain when it comes to giving and when it comes to money. You know, when you go to buy a new iPhone, you don't complain that it's $500. I mean, it's funny. I mean, even in our church, people are walking around with iPhones all over the place. I'm like thinking, what? I thought they told me they didn't have any money. I thought they told me they needed help with the rent. But they're walking around with $300 and $400 and $500 iPhones. And yet when the missions conference comes and when we have special offerings and a special project comes up, well, why do we have to give them more money? I mean, don't we have needs here in our church? It's funny how we complain when, you know, they raise the price of tickets at the ballpark. And we don't complain for that, and we don't complain for a whole bunch of other things that we use our money for. But when it comes to the work of God, we're sitting there thinking, well, should I give more? Should I up my faith promise from last year? I mean, is this truly worth it? The reality of hell. We see the torment of hell. But see with me tonight, please, also the request from hell. There were two requests made by this rich man. There were two things that he asked for. In verse number 24, he says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. All he wanted, he asked for first was, I just want a drop of water. That's all I want. But when he heard that he could not get that drop of water, when he understood that there was no way that he was getting what he was asking for, he remembered that there was someone else. He remembered his family. He remembered his father's house. He remembered his five brethren. And he forgot about the water because he understood there's no way I'm getting out of this place. He just told me that there is a great gulf fixed between us and I can't get from here to over there. And if someone from over there wanted to come over here and get me out, they can't do it. I'm stuck here. So he went for a second request. And in this request, he asked for someone to go to his father's house. He asked for someone to go to his father's house. And it is amazing to me that even people in hell are pleading with the righteous, with the Christians, with those of us who have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They are pleading with us to get involved in the work of God. People in hell are pleading with us who know the truth, who have the time, who have the ability, who have the truth of the Word of God. They are pleading with us and saying, go to my Father's house. I have family members that if they were to die today, they would come and join me. He understood, I can't get a drop of water, but oh, I can get the water of the Word of God to my family. And he begs and he says, oh, Father Abraham, if he can't come here, then send him to my father's house. The plead, the request from hell. This request is not only coming from hell, but this request also comes from above. In Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? The call not only comes from above, it doesn't only come from below, it also comes from beyond. Paul, sitting there in Asia Minor, one night he's trying to decide, where should I go to minister? And the Bible says that in a dream, he saw a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Heaven pleads. The Lord says, who will go for us? The regions beyond, people are calling and begging, we need help. We need the truth. We need to understand the reason for this life. And then there are people in hell like this man pleading, having one request for someone to go and preach to their family. The request from hell then is this, send him to my father's house. And as you are here this week, and as you see presentation after presentation, just remember that there is a rich man in hell who said, send him to my father's house. And as you see people like this presentation from India, and I'm sure as we'll see from Africa and other places, you need to understand that there are people who have died in those places without Christ. And today they're in hell and they're saying the same thing. They're probably begging and saying the same words that this man proclaimed on that day. Send that missionary to my father's house. Send that family to my country. Send that man to my town and to my city. Why? Because I have five brethren in my father's house. And if no one goes to preach to them, they're going to be right here with me in this place of torment. So why give? Why make a promise? Because there is a request from hell. Why get involved in missions? Because there are many homes like the home of this rich man's father that have not yet heard the truth of the Word of God. There are many homes around the world that like this man's father's home that have not yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear the rich man's request tonight. When you go to bed tonight and you pillow your head, just picture that man in torment. Picture that man understanding, there is no way I can get out of this place. I can't even get a drop of water. But oh God, send someone to my father's house. Send someone to my father's house. Send that missionary to my father's house. Hear the rich man's request tonight. And how, Paul asks, and how shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they preach unless they be sent, except they be sent? Someone has to send them. A church has to back them. A church has to give. And if God hasn't called you to go, well, he's called you to pray and he's called you to give. God did not allow you to have the good job that you have just so that you can have money for your retirement. God did not allow you to have the money that you have in the bank or under your pillow or in a sock in the closet, wherever you may have it. He didn't allow you to have that money, the possessions that you have. He did not allow you to have it just so that you can hoard it, just so that you can keep it, just so that you can enjoy life. No, as Christians, every single thing that we have, even our material possessions, our money, are a tool that God has given to us so that we can use it for the spreading of the gospel around the world. And maybe there may be someone here tonight that God has blessed you. God has given to you above and beyond what you deserve, above and beyond what you need, and yet you are not doing as much as you should do for the work of God. And yet you know there's a hell. And yet you know the truth that any man who dies without Christ will go to this place of torment. And you know that truth, but it doesn't stir you to do more. Lastly tonight, not only do we see the reality, the torment of hell, not only do we see the request, but in this passage, this man, this rich man understands that there is a freedom from hell, that there is a way that his five brethren can escape the place. And why did the rich man ask for Lazarus to be sent to his father's house? Because he came to the realization, he understood that in order to keep his brothers out of hell, two things were needed. Two things. A messenger and a messenger with the testimony of the gospel. He said, Lord, send him to my father's house. For what? That he may testify unto them. That he may preach unto them. That he may tell them of the truth of the word of God, lest they also come into this place of torment. This rich man understood that in order for his five brethren to be saved, a messenger needed to go to his house. And that messenger needed to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to his father's house. When was the last time the Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on your door? Do any of you remember when was the last time the Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on your door? Raise your hand. Do you remember? I remember it very clearly. It was yesterday. Yesterday, at
10:30 in the morning, two Jehovah's Witnesses ladies came knocking on our door. And I don't understand what's going on with these guys, because they have sent six different groups to my house. Six. And every group, I talk with them. My wife says, stop talking. Yeah, stop. You just want to argue with them. No, I don't want to argue with them. Anyway, they and every group, I talk with them. I share the word of God with them, and we go back and forth and looking at doctrine and all that. But every group, I tell them, I'm a Christian. Not only am I a Christian, but I am the pastor of this church that's right here. Oh, that's nice. And so it's like every month or every other month, they send another group. And I tell them the same thing. And so when the fourth group came by, I told them, look, why do you guys keep coming here when you know I'm the pastor of the church? When I've already told you, you know, that I'm a Christian, I believe the word of God, and I don't believe one single thing you guys believe. Why do you guys keep coming back? Well, we just want to share our teachings with you. I was like, well, praise the Lord. And so the group that told me that, I said, well, let's go down to my office. And let's sit down. And let's talk. Now, they've sent six different groups. Ask me when was the last time an independent fundamental Baptist knocked on my door. We live in the Bible Belt. Six different groups have knocked on my door in the past 5-6 months of Jehovah's Witnesses. The last time an independent Baptist knocked on our door was when we were still living in Gastonia back in 2006. That was the last time an independent Baptist came and knocked on our door. And we have the truth, right? We have the word of God, yes? Then how come Jehovah's Witnesses, people who twist the word of God, people who don't believe that there is a true literal hell, people that believe that Jesus Christ is an angel, how come they have more zeal for the work of their false god than we have for our true God? This man understood, if my five brethren are going to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, someone needs to go to their house. And he begs with Abraham and he says, send him. Why him? Because they know him. They know he died. They know that he died the same day that I died. They know him. They've known him for a long time. And if he were to raise up from the dead and preach to them, he says, I think that they will come to a saving knowledge and they won't come to this place. And Abraham says, no, they're not going to. The dead are not going to come and preach the gospel. The gospel must be preached by the living. And if you're here tonight and you are alive, that includes you. When was the last time you witnessed to someone? Well, Brother Christian, I give to missions. Great, that's only a part of it. But when was the last time you actually sat down and opened the Word of God and took someone through the gospel and you shared the gospel with them? I venture to say, if I were to say, listen, I want you to raise your hand if you have witnessed to someone in the past month. I venture to say that there are some of you that you could not raise your hand. We've lost our focus. We've lost our focus. We've forgotten that we're pilgrims in this world. But we become settlers. We become tourists in it. This man understood, if my brethren are going to come and be saved, if they're not going to come to this place, there must be a messenger and they must be witnessed unto. The freedom from hell comes through Christ and him being preached by a messenger who can testify of the grace of God. Are we doing that tonight? To finish tonight, let me say this. As we go through these next few days, don't lose focus on why this meeting is being held. This is just not something that we do to fill the calendar, the church calendar. It's not something just so that we can gather together and have fellowship one with another and have the excuse to taste food from other places, you know, and let's try this and let's try that and let's see if I can eat this thing over here. I don't know what it is, but it looks weird, but I'm going to taste it anyway. You know, we don't come just to look at pictures of people from other countries. We need to understand that there is a command to fulfill. There is an example to follow. There is a judgment seat of Christ that we will face. But above all, tonight, I want you to understand that there is a hell. There is a hell. And God wants every human on the face of this earth to avoid that place. Will you get involved in missions this week? If you are involved, will you do more? I pray to God that the answer to those questions is a resounding yes, I'll do more. Yes, I understand that Christ came and he died for my sins, and not for my sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. We believe that he died for every human, that he died for everyone. And if they would come to a repentance and they would place their faith in Jesus Christ, that they can and will be saved. But how shall they hear without a preacher? And so, God may not have called you to go, but you can sure pray and you can sure give so that this request from this rich man can be fulfilled. Send him to my Father's house. Every time a missionary comes by here this week, and every time a missionary comes by throughout the year, just remember the request of the rich man. Send him to my Father's house. Send him to my Father's house. Will you help send a missionary to a lost father's house? May the Lord help us tonight. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And even in this passage, Father, we see that even in hell, that there is compassion for the lost. This rich man understood that his time, his opportunity had gone by. He understood that he was condemned for all of eternity, but he knew that his five brothers were still alive. And he had one request of Abraham after. He said, Father, send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them that they not come into this place of torment. Oh Lord, I pray that tonight you will work in our hearts. There are folks sitting here today who are your children. And they've known you and your son Jesus Christ for a long time. And maybe they've become apathetic. They've become cold. They become lukewarm when it comes to witnessing and when it comes to missions. And I pray, oh God, that tonight the truth that there is a true, literal, burning hell would stir our hearts. It will stir our hearts to such a point that we will, even this week, cross the street and go speak with that neighbor that's been living there for 5 or 10 or 15 years, and yet we've never witnessed to them. Oh God, I pray that the truth that there is a literal hell, a place where the fire is never quenched and their worm dieth not, may it stir us to speak to that co-worker tomorrow or to that family member even tonight. Oh God, I pray that you would help us to invest our time, to invest our energy, and yes, even our possessions into sending someone to that father's house who is lost, to that man's house who has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit would stir us even this week so that we may become the ambassadors that we should be. Forgive us, Lord. We have so much knowledge, and yet that knowledge does not stir us to work in your fields. And truly the laborers are few. I pray, oh God, that you would help us tonight. With your heads bowed and eyes closed while the piano starts to play, and we begin, before we start singing the invitation hymn tonight, I want to remind you once again that there is a true, literal hell. What are you doing to keep souls from that place? When was the last time you witnessed to someone? If you're sitting there thinking, I don't remember, it's been a while. Oh, may the Holy Spirit of God bring conviction upon your heart, and may you come tonight and kneel before the presence of God and ask for forgiveness, because there is a command that we are not fulfilling. There is an example that we are not following, and there is a coming judgment where we will stand before the Lord ashamed, because our hands will be empty, not one soul with which to greet Him. Oh, may God work in our hearts. If you're here tonight and you say, Brother Christian, please pray for me. The Lord has spoken to me tonight. The Lord has spoken to me. I have not been witnessing as I should. I've not been getting involved in missions as I should. Or I've been doubting whether to do more. But you say, either way, God has spoken to my heart. And you say, Brother Christian, please pray for me tonight. Would you lift your hand tonight? Is there anyone here who would say, that's me? That's me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Praise the Lord here in the middle. Anyone else? Has the Lord spoken to you tonight? Has He spoken to you tonight? Is there anyone else who would say, please pray for me? Please pray for me. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. If you raised your hand tonight, I'll pray for you. But wouldn't it be great if you were to come tonight and you ask the Lord to help you in the area in which He has spoken to you about? Wouldn't it be great if you were to come tonight and get things right with the Lord? And maybe there's someone here tonight that you have a lost family member that you've spoken to in the past, but you haven't in the past few days, and you want to do that again. Well, why don't you come tonight as well and kneel before the Lord and say, oh Lord, give me another opportunity. Give me another opportunity to speak to them about your Son, Jesus Christ. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, let us stand. Let us stand tonight. And I'm going to pray, and then Brother Gary's going to sing the invitation song. But if you lifted your hand, let me encourage you to come. Let me encourage you to come. If you know you need to do more for missions, let me encourage you to come tonight and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to do more for your work. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you've given to us. I pray for those that have lifted their hands that they may come and kneel before you. And I pray, oh God, that all of us, we would understand, remember, oh God, that there is a hell awaiting each lost soul. But we can do something. We can go, we can give, and we can pray so that your work may continue around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll continue with the invitation as you come.
Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord. A passion to save the lost. Oh, that thy love were by all adored and welcomed at any cost. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constant.
This way, I appreciate this message. We're off to a good start. Praise the Lord for it. The Lord spoke to my heart. I hope He spoke to yours. Let me give you a few announcements tonight. And let me say this, if somebody is in a crowd this size and never trusted Jesus Christ, you come and find one of us. We'll stay all night if we have to lead you to Jesus. That's what it's all about. Let's be much in prayer now for the faith promise giving. What I want to do, let me go ahead and dismiss all of our missionaries who are here with us and your host families. I want you to make your way to the gymnasium. And let me say to our people tonight, even if you don't stay but just a few minutes, that's fine. But at least go through the gym, get you a little finger food and fellowship with the missionaries. Reminder for our church members to sign up to bring a finger food or dessert for our Feast of Nations. That's out on the bulletin board. All children 6th grade and under, be sure to pick up your passport at the passport table. Your children are already over there. There's a passport table. Parents, please stay with your children if possible. If you're anything like mine, that's probably impossible. But anyway, that's right. Every child who gets all 8 stamps in their passports by Sunday night will receive a special reward at the Feast of Nations. Children will be traveling to the countries of India. That's Dr. Cherian. You'll have a passport stamp tonight. And Brazil, that's Dr. Rose. So the children will be coming to you, the two men tonight. You all can go ahead and make your way over there. Again, they're going to India and Brazil. Children 6th grade and under will have an opportunity to ride the rickshaw one time each night. Tickets are located at the passport table. Each night we will have a snack available in the gym. And tonight we have an egg rolls and fruit and tropical fruit. I wouldn't eat those two together, okay? So if you want to, help yourself. Please plan to stay just for a few minutes, if nothing else, especially if you have children. They'll enjoy this over there. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's pray. Be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Dr. Cherian will be preaching for us tomorrow night. We're looking forward to it. Thank you for being here tonight, honestly. God bless you. God bless you. And be back tomorrow night, right in your place. Father, bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Please go through the gymnasium.